Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully Hanley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score, Chicago's sports station.
We're delighted to welcome in Clayton Custer. He is Loyola's shot maker.
Here comes the player of the year, the MVP rises.
How much fun has this been for you?
Oh, my gosh. This has been certainly a dream come true for me and all of us. I mean, it's an experience that not a lot of people get to have, and we're definitely trying to enjoy the ride.
I loved what you said afterward, too.
I think that's just all the years of hard work coming into one play. I mean, I've given my whole heart and soul into this game.
I thought the fact that you referenced that was wonderful.
I'm not blind to see that I got a lucky roll on that shot. It made me think back to just all the time that I've put into the game. I was just glad that ball fell in.
Nevada, did you watch the game last night?
It was crazy after the game and then the travel yesterday. We were pretty tired. I fell asleep for a little bit in the second half.
So it's Cincinnati.
Because Cincinnati was up by so much, I just kind of thought we were going to play Cincinnati. And then I woke up with like 8 minutes left and Nevada just started making that run and it was nuts. Nevada's a really good team and we're going to have to get ready for them.
Mully and Hanley.
Fruitin'.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
Steve is in East Lakeview. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Mully and Hanley. Yeah, I've been following Porter Moseley when he first got on campus.
I'm sure nobody ever heard of him.
Mully Hanley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go!
Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of The Score. Oh boy. It's cold out, man. Holy guacamole.
First day of spring. Happy first day of spring.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Meteorological? Or
no, this is,
had that one. Yeah, this is actual spring.
This is, yeah.
You better tell nature that, because seems to be some confusion. I honestly thought we were done with this.
Well.
And,
you know, it when Chris Feliciano goes off, you know the seasons there are changing.
Boy, I got to tell you, that game set basketball back. I think they should have just started taking set shots. Wow.
I'm not familiar with military artillery.
Yeah.
Hey, they can do this with 12 games left. If they keep trotting that lineup out,
I mean,
and they keep taking 33s and making three of them. They can do this. They can. I don't know that Atlanta seems to have this tank thing down. They seem to don't have the good intention not to even win a game. But Brooklyn, you can better your position by a team or two here in the final dozen, I think.
Now the fun begins.
Just keep Chris Dunn in a walking boot and keep Zach LaVine out with whatever whatever issues you've manufactured here.
They left the big three home to develop together.
Yeah. Pop said it was okay. We're not traveling our stars. Yeah. They need rest.
It's not, you got to know how everyone can get along in terms of how everyone can.
You guys hang in the training room. We'll be back from New York. We're going to have Chris Feliciano have a career game. Not campaign necessarily. Look at that group they trotted out. I mean,
it was not pretty.
No. Whole lot of ugly.
Yeah, it was really. I mean, it was, and you know, they played like it.
Oh yeah,
boy, campaign does Ooh. Not belong in the NBA.
Well,
it's really hard to make an argument for him.
Yeah, that was more of a campaign type game that you would expect, right?
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Got the body of a high school sophomore.
That's him. I mean, boy, that was really, really bad. They by the way, they're eliminated from playoff contention.
Buried the lead.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, Bulls eliminated from the playoffs last night. Hard to believe. I really thought those kids had a chance for whatever.
Which is the more shocking
for the
news?
Nico portion of the season.
Which more shocking? Bulls officially eliminated from postseason consideration, or Mitch Trubisky really on board with what the Bears are doing?
Dog bites man.
Yeah, help.
Filament 10. That's ugly. Bulls really bad. That's your headline. They didn't just lose to the Knicks. They were actually beaten pretty soundly, 110-92, by one of the worst teams in the league.
Yes. I damn near passed out when he.
They gave up like 9 straight points to end the half. I mean, I was watching that game.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I was just.
I think, you know, obliged. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, I ought to go to bed. I mean, I don't even know what time it is, but this is.
Yeah. The old 11-0 run at the end of the first half.
11-0, yeah. Oh, I'm terrible. Just terrible.
That was, I mean, that 5 minutes, they miss their final 8 shots, have 3 turnovers. I mean, all right, good night.
They're now a game and a half clear of the Knicks for the 8th spot in the lottery. The Knicks had been, you know, drawing in on them, so they really needed to fall apart there. So.
And they're only a game and a half in front
playoffs.
Of, game and a half in front of Brooklyn. Brooklyn was 1-2 games.
How about Ty Lue? What do you make of that story? I mean, I hate to say it, but they said that he was complaining of, you know, lack of sleep and pain and, you know, health reasons. I thought, wow, you should come do the morning show at the Score.
We don't have a personal chef, though. Well, you know, the scary part is not only that.
I'm just making light of it.
The scary part is not only he has those, you know, issues or symptoms, they do a battery test and really don't come up with anything, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, boy, we'd like to tell you what it is, but we don't know what it is. But, you know, you might want to take care of yourself.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have been down that road. I mean, I do feel bad for him. LeBron did take over, though, in his absence.
And Kevin Love came back, and they looked like a little bit of a different team when Kevin Love was out there putting up the numbers he put up yesterday. That was LeBron, and he looked like they're on the same page. And looks like, you know, what, they're third or fourth in the conference right now? Third? So I don't know that they'll be overtaking the Raptors by the time it's all said and done, since there's, what, 11 back with about a dozen go. I guess that won't happen. So,
Loyola Athletic Director Steve Watson said that he and Porter Mosier have talked about a contract extension, said they've discussed a raise, and they want him to be the Ramblers head coach for a long time. So the payday is coming. It's just, is the job at a Power 5 conference coming, I think, remains the question. And he was on yesterday, I think, with Bernstein and Connor McKnight. Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. Dan, of course, was the guy that wrote that there was no college basketball. I don't want to get into it.
With apologies to
Loyola. We apologize to Loyola because he thought they were cute.
Well,
but now they're in the Sweet 16.
Porter wasn't biting when I said Wednesday's a good day for a contract extension announcement, even before the tournament started.
Yeah,
he's like, there goes the media. Well, you know, it's
media.
It's part and parcel of this process, right? I mean, you know that the phone's going to be ringing for Porter, so
sure.
It's up to Loyola to be proactive and try to get
and
something.
It's good
done.
To hear that they are, and it's good to, you know, the problem is what they imagine a pay raise to be and what the reality of a pay raise is. And they do have a new facility coming in. They're building a new thing, and they got the couple of good players coming in, and they got guys that are there. I'm sure there's, you know.
Well, he's about
some reasons to stay.
In the middle of the conference, he's about the middle of the conference when it comes to coaches' pays, you know, salary. So I think top is like 800 plus, and low is 200 plus, and he's about 400 plus. So, you know, if you're staying in the conference,
you should be the highest paid.
Yeah, there. But that's about, you know, is that going to be enough? Because
No, not if a Power 5 conference comes calling, because you're going to be short maybe $1 million.
Or so.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And you know what? Well, we'll get into it. The Cubs took on the Reds under the lights. The Cubs 5-4 winners, and John Lester pitched 6 2/3 innings, allowed 9 hits, 3 runs, a walk, and struck out 6. He also had a hit in that game. How about that? Addison Russell had a couple RBI. The Cubs off today, and Kyle Hendricks is scheduled to pitch a minor league game, but is dealing with strep throat. So he is scheduled to start the Cubs' second game in 10 days.
And he's been lights out this spring.
He's been fantastic. So get rid of the strep throat. How do you get the strep throat in Arizona? The change of weather? No, the hotel, the where you're staying, the air conditioner. I'm just saying, it's like nice there.
Yeah, but didn't like Chris Bryant dealt with the flu for the first couple of weeks or something? He was out.
So that could be travel and just being in different environs. No? I don't know.
Streppy? He's got streppy?
Carson Fulmer, 4 innings, no runs, no hits, walked 3. Adam Engel and Matt Davidson, 3 hits each. The White Sox, 15-2 over the Diamondbacks. And remember, they had lost 14-0 a day or two ago to somebody. But so that's revenge. Whatever. Yoan Moncada had 3 RBI. Lucas Giolito throws today against the Rangers. Always a fun time when he's throwing.
And Wellington Castillo said that having been with the Cubs through the first 3 years of the rebuild, he believes the White Sox are ahead of what the Cubs were at that point. That's so interesting.
Like, is that 2014?
Yes, that's 2014, Cubs, a year before the 97 win
and
season.
He thinks the Sox are farther.
When he looks around and sees the talent that's already up here, up on that group with guys like Moncada, that he believes that's interesting. We should talk about whether that, if that's
accurate or that's just kind of happy joy.
Yeah, I mean, he volunteered it and said he wants to be a part when it does pop. And obviously he's got a couple year contract here. So we'll see.
The details are out on Prince Amukamara's contract. It's a 3-year deal that guarantees him $18 million. I think everybody that they signed was guaranteed $18
million. But it's the Mike Glennon contract.
That's the number that everybody's interested
in. They just white out the Mike Glennon name on there.
You gave me the 18, though. Yeah. Oh, you got the 18.
You got the 18.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got all 18. Right.
I'm, it's your year.
Put it. Very happy about that. The Patriots have released the linebacker Shea McClellan. You need a linebacker in Chicago? There's one on the market.
Championship caliber.
Shea McClellan.
Winner.
Chicken dinner.
Road.
Tim, what do you think? Homecoming?
No.
They're always welcome back in your heart, Mr. Hanley?
No. Phil Emery might be advocating an Atlanta reunion.
No, what they should do is sign him and make him play defensive line. Just because they think he can and no one else does. The Blackhawks host the Avalanche. I don't know. After that Bulls game, I don't know.
Bridge
we're
too
gonna
far.
Have to, we're going to have to talk about that one. 312-644-6767 is the number. You can start lining them up now. We got the 5 and 5 next, and we'll get to your thoughts and your dreams and your scary health issues next. Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
Do you believe Porter Moser will return to coach Loyola next year or jump to a Power 5 conference?
I hope he comes back. I think it'd be great if they, brought the gang back together and tried to make another run at it kind of deal. They're going to lose 3 key players, but they got a lot left, and they got a couple of guys that are waiting to play, and they've got a couple of freshmen coming in that look pretty good. So I would love to see the guys stick around, but it's hard. I mean, my advice to Porter would be, if a Power 5 conference comes a calling, to go, because you're going to get a significant pay raise. He's married, he's got 4 kids. His kids have been through this sort of thing before. They understand the profession. I'm sure they're happy in school and not looking to leave, and that's very tough for families, and it's obviously a consideration. If Loyola were to step up and give him what he's due, and that's like a lot of money. I mean, that's probably $1 million on top of what he's making right now, to be honest with you. I think I might stick around for $1 million pay raise, but no, a Power 5 conference does a lot for their coaches, and I think that's generational wealth, and I think you got to go if you can get that kind of money.
Yeah, it's not only $1 million, it's likely couple million. I mean, you look around and
no, I'm saying to stay at Loyola, the pay raise would have to be about $1 million,
and you'd still be well short of the Power 5
you'd be well short, but
that's what I'm saying.
But my point is, would that be enough?
That's why. I mean, I don't know. What makes you happy in life, right? Look, in the college basketball world, there's always a better job, but for what, maybe three, four? But for the North Carolinas and the Dukes of the world,
Bill Self said that.
Kansas, it would be, final landing spot. But even, Tom Crean was making probably $3 million at Marquette. And guess what? Indiana called. It's Indiana. And it's just the cachet of being in the Big Ten at a basketball, a legacy school. And he got more, probably a little bit more money too, but it wasn't that he was woefully underpaid. So there's always another better paying job. And when you're in that conference, you can break the glass ceiling there in terms of salary for a coach. But now you're just, over $1 million, which is lottery money for everybody else in the world. But in college coaching, I'm with you, Molly. If I was just telling him objectively, hey, you got to go. I mean, you might not get another shot. This is the Cinderella season in more ways than one. That doesn't mean you can't win the conference again next year, but you better win the conference tournament because you're not going to be in the NCAA tournament, right? We learned that. You're not getting an at-large bid. So you can only control, even if you win 28 games, you might be sitting there on the bubble waiting for Selection Sunday and that god-awful show to find out alphabetically if you're actually in the tournament.
Wow.
But I hope he's...
L is right in the middle, though, so
yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for... Yeah, the...
L is for the way you look to me.
Don't go ask you Wawa on me.
Tim, for the only one I see.
So W is for winning, and he's been doing that. Look, I hope he's happy getting a big bump. And I know the AD Watson said they're trying to be creative, and you almost have to do it, right? I'm sure there's pretty much a limit of where they can go here, as much as they love Porter.
Start a GoFundMe page.
Well, that's it. I mean, and that starts with big-time checks coming in from big-time alum. So
good luck.
Yeah, good luck. But I believe he's back? Yes, I do.
Why doesn't Bob Newhart bring him back?
Hello?
Get Bob Newhart on the line. See what he's doing.
Well, he made his career doing those old phone routines when he started, well before the Bob Newhart show.
Yeah. No, Mr. Newhart? Oh.
Mr. Mosley? Can I talk to Mr. Moser? Is this Porter Mosley? How much do you need? Hello? Click. I hope he's back because I believe that he wants to see this thing through, but... Realistically, if someone offers him $2.5 to $3 million a year times three or four, good luck.
Porter Mosley.
Yeah.
This seems like kind of a mean-spirited question this early in the week. I mean, they haven't even played the game yet Thursday. We're not even really getting into it yet because we're still a couple days off and we're already trying to see him out.
Well, the AD
the door.
Talked yesterday.
He did. So. And it was a good interview with Dan and Connor here on the station. I heard a little bit of it
too,
in my car.
So
yeah.
Look,
it's perfectly reasonable.
The subject has to be broached.
You're right. Absolutely. I don't disagree
but
with that.
It's so Bernstein to try to break up the program after complaining that Chicago doesn't have enough great programs. Huh? This whole thing's blowing up on Dan.
This is Dan's fault.
We're going to go after him in crosstalk.
Porter is 49 years old, so he's not old, but he's not at the point where he maybe wants to be in a spot where he is, building the program up. And we've seen over the past 10, 15 years in college basketball, specifically smaller programs like a Creighton, a Wichita State, Northern Iowa, teams that were once known as Cinderellas or mid-majors kind of make themselves into tournament regulars. And I think it would be great to see Loyola built into something like that. But I don't know if at the age and the stage of the career that Porter Moser is in right now, he's ready to take something like that on. I think he's making, around $400,000 or $500,000 a year right now.
It was reported at 420.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I would take that.
Not for...
Well, that's smack in the middle of the MVC. In terms of college coach salaries.
Certainly for us, that would be fantastic. But for a college basketball coach, albeit a very successful one as well, maybe a little bit underpaid. And Brian, you said, all of these big schools that have all the money in the world are going to be coming in. Everybody always wants to make a new hot hire after the season every year. He's going to be in demand. He's got the national celebrity thing going on now. So, I have to say right now, I do believe that he will leave Loyola, but I really hope he doesn't.
Yeah, there's a quote from Porter Moser in the Sun-Times. Everyone knows how I feel about Chicago. I love it. I love the culture of a Jesuit school. I do have kids. I have moved. My kids know that's a part of the profession. I mean, I, I, I love the stuff of Loyola, and you see what he's been able to do with this program. But, I mean, I just do not know if you are Porter Moser, how you do not seize this opportunity. These opportunities don't come around in this way. And as Kevin said, now Loyola's in the spotlight. Porter Moser is in the spotlight. So I think he does leave, although I would as well. I would like to see him stay. I think if he's offered a job, he has to take it.
Well, I mean, the UConn job is open. Is he a candidate? I don't think so. So Dan Hurley is supposedly the leading candidate for the Connecticut job. So would the Rhode Island job that Hurley would then vacate, like, is that a step up? And is it always about the cash? Listen, if he's the middle of the pack in the Missouri Valley, that's shameful, okay? At the very least, he needs to make $1 more a year than the highest paid coach in the Missouri Valley. And I think he deserves more than that, but I'm not writing the check, right? I mean, how much money has the school earned on the back of Porter Moser?
How many students do you get? I mean, I'm telling you, this is a nice run, great publicity. How many people like rethink going to school someplace?
Yeah, you don't even know. I mean, that's for you. It's years to come to see the enrollment boost or the applications going up.
And let me tell you something. This is the honest to God truth. If you talk to schools like this, they don't have problem getting women. They do have problem getting men, believe it or not. So, because guys want to be engaged with the athletic program, they want their school to be, you know, they'd like a football Saturday, and you don't have that. So you now have, you better have a pretty decent basketball team. You better have a reason for people to go to the school. They had this problem at Butler. Same type of thing where where it's like 60% women to 40% men. And it's one of the reasons they have a football program there, even though they're not in Division I in football, because it brings in a certain number of guys. I remember talking to someone at Loyola, and it was like, I think it was like 70-30 or something. And my first thought was like, God, I should have done a lot better when I was in college.
Yeah.
My second thought was, why don't you publicize that fact? That's how you get guys to go to a school.
You're not wrong.
I mean, I'm just spitballing here.
Fact that Marquette won the national championship in 77, I mean, that played into my excitement about going to that school. I was applying to Indiana and U of I and different places with good journalism programs. And, you know, Marquette had a good journalism program, but had the cachet of an urban school. I wanted to be in the city. And the fact that, you know, that basketball program, that's a big part of your college experience, you know, that you and your buddies can go to all the games and have fun. And that's a big deal.
You said urban school? How is Marquette in a city?
Yes, it is.
I'm making fun of Milwaukee.
You've been to Milwaukee probably more than I have in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I go to Milwaukee a lot.
Hey, Marquette won last night, Brian. NIT.
They won Sunday, yeah. But they're hosting tonight against Penn State.
I had an opportunity to say something that would offend the fine folks of Wisconsin, and I jumped up.
There you go. Got to get behind the cheddar curtain.
That's right.
That's a good question.
Now maybe the people in Green Bay will think twice about signing someone to a contract extension now that they know Mulligan is a Serbic.
It's good. You're doing the Lord's work. Are you surprised to learn that Prince Amukamara has as much guaranteed money, $18 million, as Allen Robinson, Kyle Fuller, and Trey Burton? Do you care?
I guess the one name would jump out is Allen Robinson. He's one of the top two wide receivers on the free agent market. And you got him, and you think, okay, that, you know, the skill position like that, in demand, and not many guys after he and Sammy Watkins. But he signed a one-year prove-it deal here for $7 million, and now you do the math, and it's 3 years with about, you know, nine and change, $10 million on an annual basis. So I'm not shocked that he's making the 18, now that Kyle Fuller is making that as well in terms of guaranteed money. I guess Allen Robinson, I would thought, would have done better, but you're coming off the injury and you're out all last year, so maybe that hurts you a little bit at the pay window. But do I care? I only care if, in fact, these contracts don't – if the players don't own up to the contracts or don't do their part, and you end up paying guys who are underachievers, and it hurts you down the road where – you can't afford to pay people because you've already laid out money. And I don't think that's the case because they have plenty of cap space.
I was amused by this, to be honest with you. The idea that, here's the reality of life. Players know what other players make. Players know what they make in relation to other players. And it's all out there. Agents take their contracts. They report them to the Players Association. And then that's how
information's power, right? Yeah.
because that allows you to negotiate and, well, my guy got this. Well,
right.
And he's in that, you know.
He's in that group.
He's at that level,
yeah.
And he needs to get that. So it doesn't surprise me that they're giving out the guaranteed $18 million to everyone. I think where Prince is concerned, effectively, he signed a two-year $18 million deal. That, I mean, it's, I know it's a three-year deal, but it's basically 2 years at 18, and you pay a lot of that money the first year, so you're keeping him the second year. As far as Kyle Fuller is concerned, when you break down that contract, it's like a two-year $29 million deal. So if you're giving him close to $20 million in the first year, then you're going to pick up the nine in the second year. It'd be hard to imagine a scenario in which you didn't. And, it would have to be, I guess, Mike Glennon-ish. But you're going to invest so much that you're going to pick up the second year. So
sure.
It's kind of like a two-year $29 million deal. You got to look at the
structure.
Yeah, a little bit closer to see what they really are. But, you know, Prince was making $7 million a year. Now he's making $9 a year. They apparently wanted to keep Kyle Fuller. And, you know, Green Bay did the work for them, and they matched that deal pretty quickly. I don't know that they thought it would be that much money. And I don't know that that they would have done the deal. You know, they did the Prince deal before they matched the Kyle Fuller deal. They didn't know that Kyle Fuller was getting that kind of money. I think they wanted them both back. I think they need them. But, you know, when you really break down, and I really like Prince. I think he's a decent guy, and I think he's been a decent player. But he's kind of just a guy. He doesn't intercept the ball. He doesn't take the ball away. He doesn't, you know, force the fumbles.
Trouble staying healthy, too.
That's a lot of money. I mean, I know we don't care, but all I'll say is that, again, the money, the investment in the player creates the expectation. You got a ton of money invested in two corners right now. So the expectation is that they're going to get better and be good.
The second question here is, do I care? And Molly, like you just said, they have the money. The secondary performed above, I think, most people's expectations last season, even despite some injury stuff with Mukamara. But you said you were amused by this. I was more bemused by it. I had trouble wrapping my head around it a little bit because you compare what Mukamara got guaranteed with the other guys here. Hi, Mitch. And he doesn't have the resume of an Allen Robinson with that one monster season. He didn't have as good of a season as Kyle Fuller last year or the upside. And he certainly doesn't have the potential of a Trey Burton, who's a really versatile tight end either. So it was a little bit confusing to me to see that he got so much money. But hearing you break it down made it make a little bit more sense to me here that it's really only a small pay raise here. And he did earn it while he's not a Pro Bowler or a number one corner or a shutdown guy or anything like that. And I would like to see him actually play 16 games. I don't care about this because I think he played pretty well last
year. Can I quickly address that?
Absolutely.
Because I think you should care.
I
think you should. And I think the reason you should is that it's kind of a zero-sum game. You know, it's not all the money to one person, but there is a limited amount of money. There is a pie, and it's cut up and spread out. And, you know, everybody's getting a piece of it. And then there's not going to be enough of it left for everybody else. So you got to be careful about it. And here's the thing. Before the salary cap, it used to be called the team's bottom line. So it's always been this way. And that's, you're right. That's where it's interesting to me because it's like everybody in the locker room, hey, we're all making the same amount of money. But you're really not. And, you know, you're also, we're all overpaid is what you're saying.
If it stops you from doing something that you need to do in the future because you paid guys a little bit more than you should have paid guys, then that's when you should care.
Yeah, I mean, obviously what this shows is that the Bears believe in Prince Amukamara. I'm certainly surprised to see he's getting this $18 million guaranteed because, as Molly said, yeah, he was just a guy. That's it this season. Not even any takeaways for the entire season. I mean, just a guy. So am I surprised? Absolutely. Now, do I care? I as Molly just said, there's only so many pieces of the pie you can break up here. I won't. In this moment, I don't care slightly, but in retrospect, I certainly will, based on how he performs this coming season. Because at the end of the 2018 season, if he's just a guy again, then yeah, I'll say money poorly spent.
Surprised, yes. but more surprised from the standpoint that he's making what Allen Robinson's making. That I think is what really, like, that's the one that you go, really? Really? Wow, okay. And listen, you got to stop the pass in this division.
You do. That's exactly right.
They air it out. Now, you also need to get after the quarterback. That helps stop the pass, but you still, so here's the thing. If Prince had gotten out of Chicago, who in the wide world of sports is playing quarterback opposite Kyle Fuller? Right? I mean, now all of a sudden, are you forced to take the best cornerback, best cover guy available at 8?
See, and this how covers quickly
you.
Does
now,
that
your
work?
Options are wide open
right,
again
you're
in
wide
the draft.
Open again. You're right?
Right. They're wide because of, and they had the money to spend and raise right. Now, you know, week 4 against whoever they play week 4, and that guy gets burned for 6 catches and 2 touchdowns, I'll be ranting and raving about it. But right now, I give a rat's rear end.
I'm tortured by this question.
Who would you be more likely to bet on to win the Masters, Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods?
So it's just one of those two? Is that it?
Yes, more likely
I guess,
of
I
the
guess,
two.
I guess.
I know you're a Henrik Stenson guy.
Tiger is, I had him 1 year. But like Dustin Rose or
Jamie Lovemark,
you know, Jordan Spieth.
I like Dustin Johnson.
They might be good bets.
Is he still kicking around?
Yeah. DJ? Oh, yeah. DJ, okay. Sure he is, yeah.
But
married Wayne Gretzky's daughter.
Tiger is now the leading.
Yeah, odds on,
odds
right?
On. Yeah.
Is he still 10-1?
Unbelievable.
How is that possible?
Is it 10-1?
I don't know. I haven't.
He finished fifth, so he's a favorite now at the Masters.
Yeah, so for that reason, I'd be much more likely.
He was odds on before this past tournament, before the Arnie Palmer.
I thought
Palmer.
He was third before the last tournament.
He was up there.
Maybe I'm wrong.
He was up there. The Tiger Fever's back is the point
Tiger
here.
Tiger Fever's back. Stay off him. I would never bet Tiger, given everything that's going on. I mean, I'm not betting against him, but no, I'd take Rory McIlroy, and I don't want Rory McIlroy, but I would take him over Tiger because the odds are so bad. How could you bet Tiger when there's, you know, you could have gotten him for like 100-1 a month ago?
Yeah, it's like betting the Cubs for 10 years
like,
before the World
it's
Series.
Like, you know, I'm going to buy it.
This
Bitcoin.
Is your year.
What do you mean it crashed?
I'd like to take the field if there was a third option. But
there you go,
Rory. Are you buying the fact that he found his game and 8-under in the final round on Sunday was pretty impressive, but really hadn't been heard from for a year and a half on the tour, and he was the next big thing until he wasn't, until it was Jason Day, until
Tiger,
it was Justin Thomas, until it was
Tiger
Jordan
close
Spieth.
To one shot, and then he, all of a sudden he's odds on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
I get, you know what, but given the choice, I'm going Tiger Woods. Been there, done that, and he's talking a confident game. I know Rory was very confident after Sunday's win at the Arnold Palmer, but I think if Tiger is in fact in the hunt – and on Saturday and Sunday, that I'll take mind over matter, and I think that he can make a run at this thing.
I do find it very amusing that the Tiger train is back on, and everybody's back on board now because he's had a couple of competent finishes in a couple tournaments, and I'm more into it when Tiger is relevant. I mean, I hadn't watched golf in years, literally, and I was
since
interested.
Rory last won.
Since Tiger last won, perhaps. It's been that long. But the last couple tournaments where he's been a factor on the last day, I myself even, who doesn't really get into golf at all, have been interested, and I've been turning this thing on. So, Brian, I'm with you here. I would be more likely to bet on Tiger just because I don't really like Rory. I think he's kind of a not fun guy. I didn't like his comments recently about taking the booze out from the spectators at the golf. I mean, the guy's Irish, for God's sake. He should be into that sort of thing.
But that would drive you out, right? That would run you off of
if
golf.
I were Rory, or if
you weren't
I were
allowed
in the
to
stands.
Drink.
Yeah,
if he what
took
do you mean?
Of course, so
he's taking a beer out of your
how
hand.
How uncivil to go stand there and watch golf for 5 hours without being loaded? Get out of here.
That's right. McIlroy. The Phoenix Open's your favorite golf tournament.
And another thing with Rory, he's never won the Masters ever. Tiger's done it a million times. Seemingly.
Yeah, I don't think either guy's going to win, but
no,
I would
but
be more
but,
likely
okay,
to
I don't want
to
root for Rory. I don't want to root
for Tiger
Rory
either.
Guy.
I want Tiger
what?
To be in the mix.
Come on, let's root for Tiger.
I don't
let's
know.
Get back on board.
Karma, buddy. Let's go to that restaurant,
oh,
Karma.
Bygones, bygones.
I kind of like that storyline, though, that he hasn't won since he got the 6-iron or whatever it was.
I'm going to say Tiger Woods for the simple entertainment factor. I, like Kevin, am not particularly a golf fan per se, but you know, having Tiger Woods' name back in the mix is gotten my attention as well. So I would definitely say I would bet on Tiger Woods. The thing that's scary about Tiger Woods, though, is the back. If for some reason, I mean, by all accounts, he's good and healthy, but if for some reason some back issues come up, then he's done.
Yeah, the two of them are just as likely not to make the cut as they are to win the thing. Maybe even more likely.
So if I were to put anything down, I'd put it on Tiger Woods.
Yeah, if those are my two choices, it's Tiger. And Brian, I think you said been there, done that. Rory. I'm with Kevin on the Rory. I mean,
really?
I mean, listen, there's no place when the guy's in his backswing, there are certain
rules,
golf etiquette. But if he's walking down the fairway, and again, I'm not a big fan of like bringing people's families into it, bringing kids into it especially. But, you know, if you've got a really hot wife and some guy's got a couple beers in it, I mean, what was he saying about it? Hey, Rory, your wife's hot. Shut your mouth or I'll have you ejected. What was he saying about the guy's wife? If he's walking down the fair, I mean.
He may have been coveting his neighbor's wife.
Yeah.
I don't know. Might want to think that through.
Exactly.
What was he saying about it?
Yeah, we don't know.
I need to know what was said until I can have a real opinion on whether the guy went too far.
Well,
Rory, your wife's hot.
He's
Rory. Way to go, Rory. You outkicked your coverage, Rory.
He's like a buck 60 soaking wet.
Rory, yeah. If I had your payday, I'd have your wife
have
too,
chat.
Rory. Where does it end?
I don't know, Dustin.
He's inside the ropes.
My mind goes farther than that, frankly.
I've been inside the ropes. That was somebody else's badge. I walked inside the ropes. 2000 U.S. Open at Pebble Beach.
He's going to get Mariotti barred from every golf tournament.
I pulled a Les.
Not naming names.
Sold it on eBay after you were done.
I'll tell you. I
gave it back.
Covering the Western way back when. Bob
Jay Verde, violated media policy? Is that what you're telling me?
Okay. Bob Verde and I walked the course with Norman at the flooded out Western, whatever year that was, where they used part of the Oak Brook course. No.
I was an emergency. I was an emergency backup caddy for that event, Brian.
An emergency backup. You're a backup backup.
They didn't know if they were going to need us because people literally.
I was covering the event.
People couldn't get around.
People literally
couldn't get. And I was I was young, but I always caddied where my local course.
I was young
that
too.
I caddied at. So they like asked, like, if you could get
young.
There, show up, and you might get to caddy. And so like
he was
they
a
gave
caddy.
You. Hot dog and a
I
soda.
Was like 30.
And you got to walk around and see the event. But I didn't actually get to.
What was it? They used the Oprah course. They yep. part of the Oprah public
Not
course.
Too far away
for the.
Did Greg Norman just start splashing?
There was actually a dead fish on the middle of the fairway because the water had receded and there was a pretty bad whatever.
Luca Brasi reference?
Yeah, no, it's Des Plaines River, whatever the hell river out there.
That's a great.
But
question.
I used my own badge. That was the point.
Oh.
Honorable man.
A lot of people have gotten in trouble for giving away a press pass, even to Dustin.
Next thing you know, a sweater comes back.
I at least was credentialed. The question was my
How
credential
were you credentialed?
Inside? I was covering the event.
You had Jay's credential.
How did you think I got on the course?
With what? I don't know. I'm asking.
We were covering. I was out there for a week with Sporting News Radio.
So you had your own credential.
I had my own credential.
But Jay
I
had
just
more
didn't
access.
Have an inside the ropes credential.
Okay. I thought Mankow sent you out
Jay
there to get
it. Jay didn't want to walk the course that day.
I was tired.
So he said,
riding his bike.
You want to walk the course? I said, are you kidding? Yeah, I want to. Saturday at the U.S. Open.
So did he? It was his face on that?
No.
Oh
no. Okay. Did Mankow send you out there to get a guitar signed?
That was after.
Oh,
that's a great question.
And then I'll have you all waterboarded. Remember, keep it up.
Promise?
Keep it up.
You promise?
Yeah.
I'm going to hold you to that. Should the Cubs carry an 8-man bullpen or an extra position player to open the season?
Well, you know, you thought Joe Maddon was just going to be 13 pitchers, so that it wasn't even going to be a question. But now I guess it is because Stropey.
Because it's Joe and he has to make everything.
Well, and Stropey. And by the way, did you know Chatwood is chatty?
No.
That makes sense.
No, but it was...
I like that one.
But
does that make him happy?
No, happy's fine.
Happy's happy.
Yeah, happy's...
So Chatty's not happy?
But Bud Black called Chatwood Chatty, so
Is Bud Black Blackie?
Easy now. So...
He's Buddy.
Yeah, so...
Happy was good.
Yeah, Chatty actually comes pre-nicknamed. But, you know, with the 10 games in 11 days to start the season, I would guess you would go with eight-man bullpen, but... I guess Eddie Butler is the issue here, right? No more options.
That's what it comes down to.
Butthead.
That one's
Buddy.
Taken.
Oh, Well, Button's so was taken. Rhino, but Ryan Cordell.
Oh, here he is. Did you hear that last? I mean, come on now.
You were off that day, Mully, but last week, I believe, or 2 weeks ago, Ricky Renteria was on, and he was referring to Ryan Cordell, White Sox outfielder, as Rhino.
And the wow. first
Brian
time
was taken aback so
well, the
much.
First time I was like, okay, let it go. But about the fourth reference to Rhino within a 10-minute interview,
Rhino's
it's
an
sacrilege.
Anybody can be a Rhino.
Good Lord.
Out with the old, in with the new.
Three catchers? I'm not a big fan of the carrying the three catchers. As much as we want...
No, I don't think they... I really... Being out there and talking to some people, I thought Caratini had the inside track, but Bruce makes the great point that...
Joe brought it up again, you know, that we could carry three catchers, Jimenez and Caratini.
Well,
and
Caratini can hit.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And that's a guy you can bring off the bench and
he can,
hit.
He can also play first base.
And you know, they have other guys that can hit, and they can come off the bench and hit, but that's a valuable commodity to have. He's got power, and he can do some good things. You know, Brian, I think that...
don't forget Peter Borges. No, he's apparently...
But it does come down to hanging on to pitchers and guys that are out of options and... You know, it comes down to not just having the best bullpen that you can, but also having value, right? These are people, these are valuable positions, and I don't know that they need to do anything or should do anything, but assets are assets.
How about Stropy on the DL to start the season and buy yourself some time before you sort this thing out?
These are all options, and I think they're legitimate ones, but I wouldn't be giving away a pitcher, and that's effectively what you might be doing. So I think that's your answer.
Yeah, I think it makes more sense to have the extra arm, especially earlier in the year. It's going to be colder. A lot of guys aren't going to be stretched out yet. You're going to want to preserve these starters for the long haul. You know, if everything goes right for the Cubs, they're going to be playing into November.
Yeah.
And you're going to need these guys. And things do happen. Guys will get hurt. You don't know what's going to happen with John Lester, Kyle Hendricks. They both missed some time last year. That's in the back of your head, I'm sure. Yu Darvish has missed some time in his career as well. So you're going to want to preserve these pitchers as much as possible. It makes a lot of sense to me to go with an 8-man pen to start the season, see where that goes for you.
Yeah. By the way, it was a 1987 Western. It was Butler that they used, 9 holes on the Butler course. Not the...
Dustin, were you there at that one?
1987.
Okay.
It was 27, not 30.
The Cubs are spoiled for choice in terms of position players. So I'm going to say to go with the extra bullpen... arm, definitely. That's the smart move there. As Kevin brought up all the good points there about preserving your starters early on in the season. I think they just need to stick with what they have in terms of position players. They need the extra arm, absolutely.
Oh, arms. They got plenty of outfielders, plenty of guys who can play infield and the outfield. Arms. And if that means Tommy La Stella has to go back to Iowa.
Oh, don't start. Don't start.
He needs to go, I'll be happy to drive his rear end.
You
out
take
there.
The bouncy castle with
him? No, don't start.
You had said you changed.
Yeah.
You had promised to change.
Fickle
listen,
man.
I'm not going to kill him. I mean, listen, you don't. Right now, you don't need a pinch hitter. It's not a big enough game that you need. Listen, when they need a big game pinch hit, unfortunately, I have to agree. You got to go to that guy.
That's a great question.
Did Carson Fulmer start yesterday give him a better shot to make the White Sox rotation?
Well, it didn't hurt. I mean, it finally had a decent outing. It's nice to see. Does it lock him in as the fifth starter? I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I'd be very curious to see how they line these guys up. You know, he's going to be with the Major League Club, right? Because they brought him up and they want to make that happen. But Hector Santiago seems like he's going to be with the Major League Club, and maybe he's a better option with his experience. It's hard to have a lot of young guys in a rotation. And the veteran guys you're relying upon... You know, James Shields, I have no idea what you get out of that guy. I think Miguel Gonzalez, you know what you're going to get out of him. And you're going to get a professional performance. And it's, you know, not great, but that's fine. And then, you know, hopefully these guys start developing. Again, I think the Sox are going to be a better team at the end of the year than they are at the start of the year. And I think part of it is their pitching is going to, they're going to figure some things out as they go forward here. And I think it's going to be shaky to begin. And then hopefully by the end of the year, you got some people who have established themselves. I'd also like to see Carlos Rodon back and in that rotation. And if that happens...
Check
then,
back in June or July.
Well, I'm with you. I mean, I hear you. But I'm talking about them getting better at the end of the year.
I don't think it mattered yesterday. I think he's going to be one of your five no matter what he does here in the final week and a half of spring training.
But isn't it, don't you, like for him, to just have a little bit of confidence. I mean, he failed every outing, right?
Well, so, the one last week where it was horrific, if you just looked at the line, he didn't seem like it was bothered. Yeah, I didn't hit my spots today. I mean, it just sounded like another day at the office, no issues. You know, he didn't lose any sleep over it. Everyone should have his demeanor. Nothing seems to bother the guy. So I don't. Maybe he's been told already. He's coming north, no matter. So unlike Michael Kopech, as soon as he was told he's not coming north, it seems to have really registered with him, and not in a positive way. I think Carson Fulmer's part of your starting five moving forward, and unless he gets shelled on a regular basis when the real games start, then you have a different conversation. But I don't think a shot or no shot. No, that's been taken. I think he's staying.
Yeah, they're going to give him a shot, definitely. You got to see what you have with these guys. He was a really high draft pick. You know, if it doesn't work out for him as a starting pitcher, maybe if he's able to throw strikes and not walk so many damn guys, he could be a late-inning bullpen guy. I think that's probably where he's headed. But he will get a shot in the rotation, and I guess we're going to go with Fulmy. Is that what we're going with his nickname?
All yours. I'm staying out of it. Okay. White Sox business.
Oh, that's good. Appreciate that.
Just call him Ernie. That was a rhino joke to upset Brian.
That went over my head.
Call Mr.
Ernie
Cub.
Banks.
Yeah, just call him Mr. Cub.
Oh, I'll call him Woo Woo.
Fulmy.
Mr. Cub. Call him Mr. Cub.
Carson Fulmer, Mr. Cub. What?
just to irritate.
Well, you know, Rhino's had a good spring.
What?
He's got new hair. I get that. Is he back? Did he miss one last shift? One last.
It's been a rough spring for Carson Fulmer. But
we'll always have the Rhino game. I mean, the two home runs against the Cardinals? No, he had a couple of hits in spring training down at Glendale. What?
It's been a rough spring for Carson Fulmer, but I think he showed just enough to definitely be to get a good shot at that fifth spot in the rotation. So absolutely, yes, I'm going to say he made a great case yesterday with that outing.
Yes, he now has a better shot. Yes. Go White Sox.
All right. There it is, Dustin.
You said that with such sincerity.
Yeah, no, he meant it.
Oh, cool.
Casey Johnson, 6 o'clock.
Casey Johnson is next. Mully and Hanley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.